Hey there, spider people. I'm Brian.
This is John.
And this is The Way.
The Way.
The Way. The Way. The Way. The Way. All right, so we're finally back after many trials and tribulations and problems and sicknesses and illnesses. And
there was everything.
Yeah.
I believe at one point there was like, you know, meteorites and pits with spikes in them.
Right. It looked like a game of Pitfall.
All right.
I miss that game.
I was just about to say, you're dating yourself here.
Yep. I'm old. Old as hell.
Right. You're old enough to still like a year without Santa Claus.
Right. So what's new, man? Anything new?
No, not really. No. You mean besides the illnesses and all of that stuff? Nothing.
Right, yeah, besides that. Well, we're here to talk about spiders.
And other stuff.
And other stuff. But mostly spiders. Other stuff, I just finished last night, finally finished the last episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, did you finally finish it?
Yep. And it was a little cheesy. But it actually wasn't too bad.
How do the Walking Dead become cheesy?
Well, it's just a big soap opera now, so, and then you gotta end it somehow, and you know, it's a drama, so.
did the zombies get married or something, or?
No, but it was kind of a cheesy, semi-happy, pretty kind of mostly happy ending kind of thing.
So everybody lived undead happily ever after.
Right. But somebody has survived a bite, so that means there was hope, you know, she breeds and whatnot, then
spoiler alert.
For man.
Kind of late with the spoiler alert.
Well, it's part of the whole story. It's not like giving anything away.
Oh, okay.
But they're always doing any zombie movies, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so I mean that's kind of like the ultimate goal is to find some kind of happiness in the craziness and an end or a cure or whatnot. So
I think they should have like spider zombies in there.
That's about the only thing they didn't have. No animal zombies. I don't think there was any animal zombies. Animals, right. It doesn't affect the animals.
All right.
Well, I think that's George Romero's rules.
Well, we have that actual fungus that makes zombie spiders anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Zombie spiders.
Yeah. They call it zombie spiders. I don't, you know, guess they're not traditional zombies.
So if a zombie spider bites you, do you turn into a zombie?
No. No.
Or does it just lay eggs in your toe?
Hey, spoiler alert.
That's called the transition.
Oh, so we're going right into news, huh?
Well, yeah, we got some spider news going on, and this is the one of the most recent, and it's pretty crazy and silly, and I'm laughing at it every time I hear it on some actual news place. Does the story like it's real. But the BBC reports about a cruise passenger who said he was bitten by a wolf spider, which then laid eggs inside his toe, and it went viral. That was a couple Mondays ago. And
okay, so did the eggs hatch?
Wait, we're getting to that.
Okay.
But the story has attracted criticism from experts. I'm criticizing. Does that make me an expert?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I think maybe the other experts need to rethink their opinion if you agree with them.
Oh, okay. Is that how it works? The BBC reported that a cruise ship passenger named Colin Blake, we're naming you, received medical attention from onboard medical staff when his toe became swollen and purple after a visit to France.
Was it the big toe?
In the picture I saw, well, yeah, it's a big toe, and it looks pretty nasty and, okay, like, infected and but who knows if that was actually him, you know?
Probably stock photo.
Right, stock photo. I'm like, okay.
We just, you know, they just keep around pictures of infected toes just for such stories.
It said the toe was treated with antibiotics and released some pus when punctured, per the BBC. Oh, I should put my glasses on. It'll be easier to read this.
Probably.
Blake said medical staff told him tea leaf-like blemishes in the puff were likely to be spider eggs placed there by a bite. Okay. That would have happened during an outdoor meal. 4 weeks after the bite, Blake said doctors spotted a foreign body in his foot, which he said was later identified as a spider that was making its way out, eating its way out of my toe. One of the spider eggs hadn't been flushed and must have hatched, said Blake, which added the spider was identified as a Peruvian wolf spider, which he got in a trip to France.
Always. Is there more?
The BBC also showed pictures of the passenger's big toe, swollen and discolored, which it reported was caused by the spider bite. The cruise company was not identified in the report.
Because they don't want any part of it.
But then here come the experts. I feel like I'm missing a page here.
Boom, boom, boom. Anyways, some suspenseful music?
somebody said that it's likely a spider was not involved. It's unlikely a spider was involved. Spiders do not lay eggs in other organisms, not humans, not any other organisms.
Not said big toes.
Ginstead, an evolutionary biologist who studies spider behavior at the University of Portsmouth. The story has really got me riled up and quite a lot. So outrageously inaccurate. Sarah Goodacre, a professor of evolutionary biology and creator of the Spider in the House spider identification app, agreed, absolutely. Don't worry about whether a spider might come lay eggs. The whole story does not make any biological sense.
So
there you go. Don't really need to go any further than that, I think.
So, do you want to go first or should I?
No, by all means. I read the story.
Okay. Well, yes. you know me. If there's a such thing as trying to keep an open mind, it's me. And I try my best, even to a fault, like sometimes, because especially, you know, I know you'd like to have your, this is what grinds gears or whatever type of segments. And I'm just not really the type of person for that. I don't like to publicly kind of ridicule people and stuff, but
people, just ideas.
Well, we named him, remember? Well, you named him. Let me retract.
Oh, no, the BBC named him. The BBC.
And then you named him here. So,
it's already public record, though.
Right. But I think my best response to this would be, if it's that easy to get spiders to lay eggs and breed, man, I know several people that is probably lucrative enough that they would probably walk around with egg sacs in their toes of particular tarantula species.
I don't know.
Philostatus.
So if a zombie bites you, you turn into a zombie. So if a spider bites you, your toe turns into spiders?
No, it's just becomes it becomes like a mechanical mom for an egg sack.
My point. See, they don't how where do the eggs come from in a bite? They're in the venom.
We've been doing this all wrong. Next time you try to breed your tarantulas, you put your feet
Bite my toe and I gotta carry it around for a few
in
months and it's gonna have a lot of pain and then eventually the spiders will come out with some pus.
Does it have to be a toe? Can you use your hand or your elbow or something?
I don't know.
I
The bigger the appendage, the bigger the
mean,
sack.
egg sack, right? You can put give them your whole shoulder. I mean.
I just can't believe it made it to the BBC and Fox News and
It made it everywhere because I sent
the
it to you
show
and
on the way to work and
I sent it to you and you had seen it already a bunch of times.
it
So
showed up on my Yahoo homepage or
it's all
whatever.
over.
Whatever homepage I have, it's got news on the front of it. And it showed up on there.
So much of that is just so unbelievable.
Yes.
The
Yeah.
bite, so it bites you to lay eggs inside a spider. And then the eggs somehow survive inside your toe amongst the pus and everything. And then the spiders, the babies, chew their way out.
Yeah, they eat their way out, right? How else would they get out?
I don't know.
It's like they're always talking about spiders laying eggs in people's ears. What are you, crazy? If it's small enough, it might try to hide in your ear and hold its egg sac.
Got a couple Zonesta sacks in my ears right now.
Right.
I
John's got kind of big ears.
actually have small ears.
Next time you go to the reptile show, people are going to be looking at your ears.
Right.
One person that listened to the show.
You know who you are.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I got to find that. I forgot to set that up. Damn it. We got a message from somebody who likes us and thinks we're funny.
What's wrong with that person?
And wants us to make more podcasts. And I'm like, we're trying, we're trying. I know it doesn't look like it, but really, we're trying. Okay, so how about some real news?
What's that? What you got?
It's a spider, Jim, not a doctor.
Okay. This is sounding
Funny, it
science.
might
This
be
is sounding,
somewhat of a.
yeah, it's sounding science fiction so far, so I don't know about it being real news.
Well, it is science fiction related, but it actually is a non-fiction story, as some scientists have named some true spiders after Mr. Gene Roddenberry,
Oh.
the creator of Star Trek, of course.
Gene Roddenberry,
Ashes are now floating in space.
yeah.
So, Star Trek fans and spider enthusiasts have unexpectedly covered what? Unexpectedly. Oh, covered on a new frontier. Scientists in Brazil announced that they have identified three new species of spiders and subsequently named them Kirk, McCoy, and Spock after some of the main characters on Star Trek. So, the spiders are part of the Roddenberrius genus.
Rotten bury us. That sounds really rotten bury us.
It's Roddenberrius. Roddenberrius.
bury us.
It's the
Okay.
Roddenberrius genus, a taxonomic classification name for Gene Roddenberry. Where's the spiders at? Geez, you thought I would have this highlighted or something,
You
right?
would think.
Where I did before, geez. even have notes, but I don't have it written down there. Why, Brian? Why? Anyways, yeah. So,
Oh, okay. There you go. So that is a cool story. I just wonder if they
Oh,
couldn't
naming
have.
the three species after the main characters became Spock would say only logical. Kirk honors James Tiberius Kirk, the captain of the series spaceship Enterprise. McCoy was named after Leonard McCoy, after the doctor, and Spock shares the name with Kirk's pointy ear Vulcan officer. So yeah, they named these Kirk McCoy and Spock, and they're in the so they're Roddenberryus Kirk, I guess.
That's cool. I do like that, but seems like maybe they could have. I mean, in the future, if they find more spiders in the Roddenberryus clan, then maybe they should. What about beam me
The spiders are found across the Americas, Africas, and Asia.
or on a cruise ship in France.
Right. So watch your toes. Maybe don't wear those flip-flops tonight, eh?
And when they don't have to bite you, you just transfer.
Roddenberryus Kirk is from Costa Rica. And Roddenberryus McCoy hails from Baja California. Oh, well, you know.
And they don't have to bite you, they just transport the eggs into
Oh, Baja
your
California
limbs.
in northwest Mexico. Roddenberryus Spock is found in Mexico. Quintana Roo in Mexico.
Oh, I thought you were going with Tarantino.
No.
I'm
That's a
like, wait a
different spot.
minute. Right. That
Okay,
one really
someone will
did.
probably name a spider after him, though.
That one, well, it probably should be that one that left that bit the toe and left
Oh, right. Yeah, they bit
the
their way out, right.
egg. Yeah. Yeah. That should be the one. That
Right,
would
but
be perfect.
if it was him, wouldn't it, he probably would have carried it in his butt for many years, right?
Well, I mean, maybe that's an alternative way that it recreates. I don't Oh,
Okay, so some more non-fiction. Scientists in Australia have unearthed the fossil of a new genus of trapdoor spider, believed to be anywhere from 11 to 16 million years old. In addition to
so.
being the second largest spider fossil found in the world and approximately five times larger than the current existing genus, the specimen has a lot to tell researchers about the evolution of the species.
Oh, it talks. Cool.
So, oh yeah, bones talk, man. I mean, look at all the stuff the dinosaurs told us.
You just told us that we know bones talk. It was from the previous story.
And they even came up with fake dinosaurs.
You missed the joke, Brian.
What was the joke?
It was bones talks is from the previous story.
Oh, bones, yeah, McCoy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Womp, womp, womp. All right, so they found a really big fossil. It's bigger than it's what did they say? 10 times, 5 times larger than the current existing genus, so that they have on file. So that's pretty damn big.
That's a big ass.
That's a big ass spider. That's pretty big ass, yeah. I was discovered in at McGrath's Flat in New South Wales. So that's pretty cool. That's some news that happened while we were off. Oh yeah, they described a new spider. Well, not a new spider, but a spider in the hobby got a new name. The Chilobrachy species Electric Blue has been officially described by where's the names? I don't want to mess up the names. Looks like Mr. Rick West was involved in it, and I can't read my own writing, so I have to look on my printout.
That's sad.
It is. It is sad. It is sad. It looks like Ferretti, Chaparro, Ichiwa, and West.
They don't get a Mr. in front of their name.
I don't know if they're a Mr. or a Mrs. The Ichiwa might be a Miss or Mrs. I don't know for sure.
Mm.
And I really can't pronounce the okay. The spider's new genus name is Chinchasuyu.
Yeah.
Chinchasuyu. I'm not sure. And it looks like Spinosa. So oh no, I'm wrong. That's a different a different spider that's described. That's a different story. Sorry, I missed that up. No, Chilobrachys electric blue is Chilobrachys natanachari. Charum? Natanicharum. Narda Ichuum? I don't know.
Okay.
Naden Ichu? I don't know. Takes a while to figure that out. Also helps to maybe go on Google and do that.
Maybe. Not always.
And Pteranopelma sazami is now Lazio cyano sazami. They changed the genus on that, so it's no longer a Pteranopelma.
No.
So that happened.
Okay.
And I'll have to edit this so it's not so boring.
What are you going to add to make it not so boring?
I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure.
Random sound effects. I think that should just be a segment of the show, just random sound effects.
Okay, so I'm missing a story. That was the problem. That's how I got confused with my notes. I'm missing a printout story. I don't know where it went, but yeah, a new spider was found, and I don't have the information on where the hell it was found.
And it was just found. This is right, somewhere.
It was found somewhere.
Found. It might be.
Go ahead. I mean, I don't know. But the names that I read earlier, Freddy, Chaparro, Ichiwa, and West, those are the names of the arachnologists that found the spider. I'm sorry, I don't have the rest.
Wherever it was found.
Right, wherever it was found. Right. My guess would be South America, but I could be wrong.
And why South America? You're just pulling that one out as thin air.
That seems to be where a lot of people are looking for spiders. I don't know. West has done a lot of stuff in you know, Costa Rica and other countries over there. So that was my thinking on that. So sorry, I'll get that fixed next month, next episode, and we'll make that better. So moving right along.
All right.
This episode is about CITES, right? Oh yeah, I gotta find
that. CITES or CITES or CITES. I've heard lots of people just say it different ways.
Really? I've only really heard CITES, but...
Oh, I've heard more than that.
So explain to us, John, what is CITES?
Well, CITES or CITES or CITES. we'll refer to it as CITES right here, but if you like it a different way, then... please, by all means, continue to call it that. it refers to, basically, that is a shorter name. And what it stands for is the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Florida. I mean, Flora, not Florida. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
A Florida man.
Is a... It's a treaty designed to protect species of plants and animals from becoming extinct due to trade. Basically, that's the aim of it. And right. Yes, it was drafted in 1963, and The convention wasn't opened until for signature until 1973. And it entered, as Dave, this is a quote, it entered into force on July 1st of 1975.
So that took a while.
Yeah. it took a long time. So basically,
they had to make 10 ratifications.
Yeah. And it involved 80 countries and 40,900 species. So that's a lot.
Quite a few.
Right. And then as far as we're concerned in our narrow focus is inverts, what I found is that on appendix one, oh yeah, it's split into appendices.
Yes.
And it depends on how endangered or threatened that the species that they determine it is. And each one has a different rules governing how it is allowed to be, you know, traded or imported, exported, etc.
Right. So if you really like it and it's really cool, it's probably going to be impossible to get.
Right. Then it's appendix one.
Right. Everything you really want is in appendix one.
Right.
The stuff you kind of want is in appendix two. And everything else is endangered and or extinct, right?
Pretty much. So there's that. And like I said, as far as inverts, what I found is that there was 69 species on appendix one, 7 subspecies, and appendix two is 2,193 and 1 subspecies is what I found.
No, okay. And then so which appendage makes it so we can't do it here between states? I can't remember.
I think that's one.
That's one.
It's between states, yeah.
Yeah, so in the US, so if it's an appendix two, you can't transfer it from different countries.
Countries, right.
You can't send it from the US to Europe or Africa or, you know, another continent or another country anywhere. I can't send it to Canada, can't send it to Mexico. But if it's appendix one, I can't send it to Ohio from Michigan. Like I can't send it anywhere. It has to stay right here. That sucks.
So according to what I wrote down, commercial for appendix one is the highest level of protection. So it's commercial trade in wild source specimens is not permitted, and non-commercial trade is strictly controlled by requiring an import permit and export permit to be granted by the relevant management authorities in each country before the trade occurs. So, yeah.
Yeah. And in many instances, those permits do not exist. So.
Exactly. And then there's there's appendix three also, I forgot to say. And then there's 27 species of inverts on that.
Yeah, it just kind of sucks for like Poikilotheria species here in the U.S. Not being able to ship them in between states and stuff.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. A lot of people are trying to breed these and keep them in captivity. And
in a lot of cases, from what I'm hearing, obviously I haven't gone out myself and tried to find any, but from the things that I've read and seen is that their habitat is being destroyed anyway, and a lot of them are disappearing in the wild, and they may only exist in the future in captivity.
Right.
So you would think that you would want to encourage it rather than the other way around.
It makes sense to restrict it so much.
Yeah, it seems counterproductive, actually.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, if a spider you want or an arachnid or any kind of invert you want is on that, you know, on one, you're going to have a really hard time getting it.
Right.
If it's on two, you're still going to have a really hard time getting it.
And they have a section.
A lot of that stuff comes through Europe to come here.
They have a section in CITES about captive bred or artificially propagated specimens. It reads, CITES allows trade in specimens to follow special procedures if management authorities are satisfied that they are sourced from captive bred animals or artificially propagated plants. In the case of commercial trade of Appendix 1 taxa, captive bred or artificially propagated specimens may be traded as if there were Appendix 2. This reduces the permit requirements from two permits to one permit only. In the case of non-commercial trade, specimens may be traded with a certificate of captive breeding artificial propagation issued by the management authority of the state of export in lieu of standard permits.
And that means what in English?
that basically is, they're still not probably going to let you do it.
Right. Right. You're going to have to jump through a bunch of hoops, and by the time everything gets done, the male's dead.
All right.
Yeah. But people just read that first part, and I see this a lot. And, you know, it's okay to send it if it's a male. It's okay to ship that to me if it's a male and I'm going to breed it. I go, yeah, but you need a permit for that. I need a permit. You need a permit. We both need permits for that. Where do you get a permit?
I know. There's a,
how
there's
long
a store.
Will that take?
Just go to Walmart. They got a permit.
That'd be cool if you could buy one like a fishing license or something.
Right. Just go to Walmart. You buy your gun and ammo and you buy your CITES permit.
Amazon too, right?
Hey. Well, you gotta watch the Amazon permits because it's probably you'll get it, it'll be the wrong permit, it'll be from China. You won't know what it is.
That's true. So basically, that's pretty much all the CITES or CITES or whatever you want to call it.
Just, right.
I mean, technically, it's just CITES, right?
Yes.
Because it's a shortened version of the long ass name.
Yeah.
So
we don't have to walk around and say, well, this one is on the Convention for International Trade of Endangered right. Species.
Exactly. So say it however you want, but if you see it, don't buy it.
I don't know if you go that far. If you
list.
See it, don't buy it.
Okay, that was a little vague. All right.
If you see it, don't buy it. Okay.
If you see it on that list, don't have it shipped to your home. Have it shipped to your buddy's home.
Oh, speaking of which, Brian, if you get a package, it's your
right. Okay.
Don't open it. I'll just call me. I'll be there to get it.
Don't do it. Okay, and so now it's time for our unhelpful guide to inverts.
That was the drum roll. We spare no expense.
That's right. And today's contestant is Acanthoscuria geniculata.
Come on now.
We'll be right back with Drew Carey. Just kidding. Drew Carey don't like to be funny anymore, I guess. I don't know.
That is true, huh? I didn't think about that.
No, I know. It's sad. He don't do anything. He only does that.
Yeah. Whatever happened to...
That's a cushy gig, man. Like, they work, like what, 3 months out of the year? They record all that stuff in, like, one short air. They do, like, 5-10 shows a day, and then they record it all up, and then he's got the rest of the year off. Why isn't he making something funny, man? I liked it. I thought he was good. I loved the Drew Carey show when it was on. It got a little weird at times, but...
Did you like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes, I like that a lot too. Ryan Stiles is a riot, man. That's hilarious.
All right.
But we digress.
All right.
Acanthoscuria geniculata. These suckers can live quite a long time. Females can live up to 20 years for sure. And males, not so much.
Not so much.
3 to 5 years is probably around maximum for them.
Wait, is that the order we're going in?
Just because that's what I have. I didn't have anything printed out. I'm just on the internet on my phone on this one.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the other one, so I just started.
Let's try it this way. We have a template, at least.
Oh, okay.
So we can.
All right. So what's next?
I gotta get to the template. Here we go.
Okay.
So we start with name. We got Acanthus Courage Iniculata. Do we know anything about that name?
No.
No, I don't think I do either.
No, I didn't look up anything.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the name. I'm not really sure about that. So
I didn't see anything about that, yeah.
And so then we go description. So description.
Big ass spider.
Here's a description that I found. The body and legs of the Brazilian white-kneed tarantula are deep black color, though occasionally the legs may be slightly lighter in coloration. To contrast, the bright white bands on his legs, which are generally considered to be the main reason for its subjective beauty. The males are smaller and less intensely colored. This is a larger species of tarantula than the norm, with the length of the body reaching up to 9 centimeters or 3.5 inches. These tarantulas are fast growing, usually taking around 3 to 4 years to reach a mature leg span of 8.5 inches for female.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, I agree with all of that.
Yep.
Yep.
Big ass purdy spider.
And they're found in the Amazon basin of northern Brazil.
Yep.
In that's where they're found. That's and the habitat is a tropical wet climate with abundant rainfall with little to no dry season. And availability. They're pretty widely available, I think.
Oh, they're common.
Yeah, pretty widely available.
Yeah. They've been around for a long time. They have lots of babies, so they're easy to keep around.
Yeah. And care. Do you have anything in particular about the care?
No, basic tarantula care for me. I mean, they're terrestrial, so they'll hide in things, or sometimes they'll make like a bit of a burrow, but they're mostly just like the hide in things, as far as I've seen.
Yeah, and I'd second that. Just, you know, water dish.
Yeah. Yeah, no extra humidity or anything. Just a nice size water dish when it's a good size spider, and yeah, that's about it. Whatever decorations make you happy.
Especially those with sharp spines, like fake cacti.
Oh yeah,
I recommend those.
Yeah. I don't know why people do that. To be fair, the spines on the cactus are usually soft.
I've seen some or touched some at a couple pet stores that were like, I think that this would just be like a tarantula killing device.
Oh yeah, especially if it's like, oh, it comes from the desert, a red knee. Oh yeah, let's give it lots of hard, pointy things.
Yeah, seriously. I've seen them.
One millimeter worth of sand and.
Actually, I just picked up one not bought it, but like just picked it up in my hand at one of the larger chain pet stores just about a month ago, and I was like, oh my god, this would so kill every tarantula.
Yeah, you try to tell them, but they don't care. Well, you tell them, and then that guy gets fired or quits, and the next guy comes, and he's like, geez.
Oh, at the chain stores, it's no, yeah. You know, don't get me started. It's no point in talking to them, honestly. I mean, you can, if you like, you know, if it makes you feel better, then go ahead, but it's not going to change anything.
No, it's actually fun for me to ask them questions and laugh at their answers.
Oh, God. I prefer the ones that just like, I don't know. I'm afraid of those things. And just, you know, that's it. You know, that's better than just telling you a bunch of wrong stuff.
Right. You are, John.
So, okay. What about breeding? I have not personally successfully bred this species.
Yes, I have bred this species, but at the time I thought it was a different species. I thought it was Acanthus Courage Brocklehursti.
Right, which apparently
doesn't exist anymore.
Right. So
I did breed Geniculata. I've bred them. I don't think I've had just the Geniculata sac. Oh, wait. My list is here. That's right. I've got a printout of my list. You know, Brocklehursti, lots of Velocella. No, I don't think I ever got Janiculata to breed. Other people, I always bought them from other people. They're
Huh.
always, other people already had them, so it's like, man, I don't really need to breed them. Yeah, nope, it was just Brocklehursties. I got 523 slings.
Okay.
Second instar.
All right. And how was that? How was the breeding? Was it, straightforward?
Yeah, it was pretty easy. The
Okay.
males know what to do. It was a good size male. They say males are smaller, but not by much a lot of times. They
It's
really.
a big, from what I've seen, I have had a lot of males come through my hands, even if I haven't like tried to breed them myself. I mean, I have in the past once or twice, but I some it's a big difference because I've seen some pretty tiny males.
Yeah, theirs can be, they can be like 2 inches, and then they can be like like 6 inches.
Yeah, I've seen some
It'll
pretty small ones.
play.
Like, what the heck? Like, dude, you don't
Yep.
have a chance. Yeah,
Yeah, but I mean, that's what all the males look like for king baboons, and they get the job done, and those girls are monstrous, man.
so
Somehow
all
they
right.
sneak so little, you know.
So experiences, do you have any fun stories or any different experiences that you've had with the species at all?
A fun story.
Well, it doesn't have to be fun. I guess it could just be something.
Oh, well, I have a fun story. The ex-wife, I was breeding Acanthoscuria geniculata, and the girl that I had was quite large, and I had to work that day, and
Wait,
I was
the ex-wife or the tarantula?
the tarantula. Female geniculata was quite large. Like she was like
Oh,
8 inches. She was really big, had a really big fat butt on her, and
you sure that wasn't the
no, and it wasn't. The ex-wife's a cokehead, so
Oh, okay, I'm not touching that
there. They don't usually get too large. So anyways, I had to go to work, but I wanted to get a breeding in before I went to work. So I did that. I bred the spider.
I was literally going to ask with the tarantula or ex-wife,
Cut it out now. No, so the spiders did a breeding. I put the male back in his cage. Thought I closed up the female's cage. Went and took a shower. Got on my clothes. Went, left to go to work. Stopped at the gas station on the corner to get gas. Get a phone call from the ex, who was the current at the time. And I said, and I'm like, "What do you want?" I'm right down the street. I just left 2 minutes ago. She's like, "I think the biggest spider you've ever had is crawling across the wall right now, and I don't know what to do." So luckily, I was only like a couple blocks away. I went home as soon as I finished with the gas and collected her. Apparently, I forgot to put her top all the way back on her cage after the breeding session.
So the funny thing about that story for me, the funniest part, and may not the some of our one listener may not get, is that just because I know the ex, I know how funny that was because she hated tarantulas. She hated
They hate
me because I brought tarantulas
because he encouraged me in my obsession.
Every time I was involved, there was tarantulas involved, so she hated
Right,
me.
they came over, he had spiders.
So yeah, it could have been like a 2-inch spiderling, and she would have been like the biggest spider you've ever
Yeah,
had.
so an 8-inch geniculata was pretty pretty scary for her.
Okay.
But it was funny.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything that'll top that one. not with that species, no. And the last thing is our rating as far as how do you think it is as far as how easy or not easy or to keep all of that. Would you recommend it for, what level of keeper?
What's our lowest level? Is it youngling?
Yeah.
I think one above that. So what's that, Padawan?
Padawan.
Yeah, I think that. If you're If you're still scared of the spiders somewhat, if you're, you know, if you're really scared of them, then I wouldn't do it. But I mean, it's a good spider. Hell, it's a good spider to start with as a baby and grow up because they're hardy. They do really well.
Yeah, I
They
give it a
eat
pat
really
on.
well. They grow really fast. So I mean, it's a good one if you if it's a kind of it, if you haven't bought a spider as a spiderling and raised it up to an adult, then this would be one of the spiders I would suggest to do it with.
Yeah,
Very
no, I
hardy.
agree. I agree.
Right.
It's gonna grow fast. The only consideration is just how big you get it, because I know a lot of beginners are really intimidated by them when they're really, really small. And so the
True.
spiderlings do
This
start
one
off.
does start out really, really
Yeah, it
small.
starts off really
They have so
small.
many babies. So, I mean, if that's your only holdback, that really the worst thing about that is feeding them, and really that's not even a problem. Just take any size cricket and cut pieces off of it and throw it to the spider. It'll eat it.
Yeah, I mean that just is that's you know that can seem like a daunting task for a lot of beginners, I've noticed.
Oh
But
yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, if you're too squeamish to do that, then you don't want to start with a baby spider like that. I mean, and then maybe not want this spider because they can be a little intimidating once they get bigger. They're not, I
I
mean,
think for
they're
me, I
not really
think if
aggressive, but they
no.
if you hit something and bumped it would scare the hell out of you if it came after you. You know what I mean?
I mean, and honestly, I had a really large female she was pretty temperamental. But not all of them are that way. But she was one of the bigger ones that I've ever seen, and she was pretty temperamental. But I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not a orange
No, it's not an OBT.
bitey thing.
Not an OBT, but the size can be intimidating for people. So I don't know, Padawan or the next. What's the next level?
I think it would just be
Jedi?
apprentice, right?
Oh, apprentice.
I don't know. I don't
Isn't
know.
a Padawan an apprentice?
Somewhat, yeah. So let's go Jedi. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say Padawan to Jedi, just depending on what kind of Padawan you are.
Yeah.
If you're squeamish with the spiders, you're still kind of scared of them, then maybe not. But if you get it as a baby and you want to try it that way, you know, they're not intimidating as a baby. They'll crawl on your hand and they're not going to bother you or anything. And you can get used to them. But then when it starts to get a little size, don't handle it anymore.
I think that growing it up gradually, you'd be more used to it, you know, as
Yeah,
it
for
went through all
sure.
the stages. So, yeah.
Versus buying a big one, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know
Yeah,
that a beginner should.
if you could find one a couple inches, it's a good spider. They're hardy.
Yeah.
They're pretty. They're not really aggressive. They're just, they might kick a little hair, but not. I don't know. Not, you know, if you bump them or something, they might kick a little hair, but they're not real mean or anything. I don't know.
Yeah, I would even knock it down
Hard for me
almost
because I
to.
have no fear of them. Like I've never been afraid of them. And I've never been bit either. So I don't know.
I would even knock it down to youngling in that instance. If it's like, you know, as long as you're not that squeamish or scared of them or nervous around them, and if it's about a 1.5, 2 inch one, I mean, the only thing there's not really anything, you know, to worry about is that situation.
Yeah, for sure. If you get a well-started sling that's bigger than an inch, I mean, it's an easy care, man. They
Yeah.
just like crazy. It won't be an inch for long.
Yeah.
They
Yeah.
grow fast.
So there's that. I hope that that has been helpful or not. But that's our unhelpful guy.
Yeah, that's our unhelpful guide. And not many people know this, but this is John's favorite spider.
Are we sure? I don't know.
We're never sure.
We're never sure. I mean, I don't even know what my favorite one is
I'm
anymore.
pretty sure. Pretty sure you told me that one time. Band camp. I don't know.
Did you say band camp?
One time at band camp. Just one time at band camp. Different movie.
Guess.
Watching anything cool?
No. No.
There's nothing.
I watched some trailers for things
I just finished my soap opera. That's the only thing I've been watching.
that Your soap opera.
My zombie soap opera, Fear the Walking Dead. I
Is
tell
it
you, we should
tough?
watch it and do a podcast on the rewatch.
We need to find stuff with spiders, I think, or inverts.
There's nothing.
I
Lord of the
know.
Rings has a big Goliath hobbit eater.
Goliath hobbit eater.
Like Harry Potter's got spiders.
Yeah, they had a, there was a
There's
lot
a
of
couple movies in with spiders in them. There's not too much with spiders though. Oh, we could watch we could do rewatches of Eight-Legged Freaks and Arachnophobia and Tarantula, 1955 Tarantula. We could do that. We could do that for Patreon. That would be a good thing to start a Patreon. Maybe one person will watch it and give us a dollar to help support the podcast.
And there's one other thing that I wanted to gripe about. I was telling you earlier about when it's just a misinformation on the internet. You got to sift through the information on the internet because and really try to get more than one thing and compare it and contrast it with other information. Because when I typed in Acanthoscuria geniculata onto a Google search, the very first image that came up for my search results anyway was a Nandu. And so it's like, I mean, all the rest of them were right, but the very first image was a Nandu. And it's just stuff like that. It only takes that one thing to be wrong, and then it'll be someone that's like, oh, they bought this spider from someone, a collection or something, and then they typed and they see it and they're like, oh, it's in Acanthoscuria geniculata, and now you're selling it someplace else and potentially breeding it with the wrong thing and all sorts of things, and just because of that one image that
Not
was
to mention a
referenced.
Chromatis is a lot more aggressive than a
Plus a
Janiculata.
different spider altogether. And it's just the internet is just so it's wonderful and terrible at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, that's my end of that rant there. But yeah,
That's gear grinding for John today.
right. I actually got some gears grinding.
All right, cool. I'm rubbing off on him. All right,
Okay.
so our next one, I believe, is going to be on spider behavior. So be sure to tune in. I'm pretty sure it's not going to take as long to get the next episode out as it is
So
taking to get
in
this one
2027.
out. Yeah, 2020 coming to podcast. All right, you got anything else, sir?
No, I'll save it all for the 2027 episode.
All right, cool. All right, so I'm Brian,
And this was John.
and this is the
This
way.
was the way. It
It was.
was the way.
Was.
Might be the way. Could be the way. Bye.